Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Moss, Hurlburt, Brown, Fuller, Zaroff, and Smith are excused from the call of the House today.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Byrne be excused through plain time today.
There's no objection. Representative Byrne will be excused through plain time today.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Halford be excused from the call of the House April 14th.
There's no objection. Representative Halford will be excused April 14th. The prayer today is by Pastor Curtis McLean of the Glacier Valley Baptist Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today for the members of the House of Representatives. Just as there are proper steps to be taken in making a law, so there is a correct way for man to relate to his Creator, God. Help us to love and to trust you by knowing you, and to know you by communicating with you. Lord, help us to know what you want us to do, and then to have the courage to do it in the face of all problems. Feed us with spiritual food and help us to stand before you, pleasing and obedient to you. Lord, grant us your presence today as we deliberate. Give clarity of mind and recall of facts. Amen.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. The Chief Clerk, please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 88th day in House Supplement Number 44.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 88th day in House Supplement Number 44 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Randolph, would you like to introduce your guest there? The one in front of you. House, please stand back to order. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I object to having a toothpick stuck into the head of the donkey that I carried all the way from the mountains in Germany for you.
Well, Representative Randolph is having a little trouble this year. He's practicing a little voodoo, I think. But Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I would have stuck it in another part of the anatomy, but it was too tough. And to comply with your request, sir, this is Roscoe, the Libertarian Beaver. Porcupine.
Well, I think that ends the introduction of guests this morning. So, messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Second Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 28, amended Senate, providing for presidential party primary elections effective date, Chapter 20 SLA 1980. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 51, approving District Coastal Management Program of the Municipality of Anchorage and the findings, conclusions, and stipulations of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, Legislative Resolve Number 6, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 52, endorsing action of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, Legislative Resolve Number 7, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 53, approving amendment to a regulation adopted by the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, Legislative Resolve Number 8, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 54, approving the District Coastal Management Program of the City of Haines, and the findings, conclusions, and stipulations of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, Legislative Resolve Number 9, signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have another letter from the governor adding to the list of Alaskans to be confirmed for appointments to boards and commissions. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
At this time, I'd like to refer these appointments for confirmation hearings. The two appointments, State Commission for Human Rights, the Judiciary Committee, Commission on Judicial Qualifications, Judiciary Committee, Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Commerce Committee, Board of Veterinary Examiners, Commerce Committee.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, Senator Coletta resigned from the Senate Banking Committee. President Tillian appointed Senator Bradley to replace Senator Coletta. The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 199, Finance Amended, Public School Foundation Program Effective Date, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 199, Finance Amended, House Support for Schools and Amending the Public School Foundation Program Effective Date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment. In the event the House fails to recede, the President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House: Senator Ferguson, Chairman; Senator Sackett; Senator Stimson. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
I have a memo to all members of the Alaska House of Representatives from Representative Terry Gardner regarding to smoke or not to smoke. A concerned local citizen has recently called to my attention that there is a state law, AS 1835-300, restricting smoking during committee meetings. Section 1835-310 provides exemptions to the law. The Legislative Affairs Agency has ordered portable no-smoking signs for the Senator, for the Senate, Butrovich, and Belts rooms for use during committee meetings. The House Committee Chairman may use their discretion as to whether they meet the requirements to AS 1835-310 concerning this law. No-smoking signs have been made available by the Legislative Affairs Agency.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, as former chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I know you'll be happy to know that the Judiciary Committee has smoking and non-smoking areas.
I hope the non-smoking area is inside the room. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, the Resources Committee has adequate ventilation.
Reports of standing. Do we have further communications?
Yes, I have two reports from the Department of Health and Social Services, one regarding financial data on the Aid to Families with Dependent Children program, and another one on the cost of care rate hearings report to the legislature. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The House Resources Committee recommends the following appointments be confirmed: Mr. Griffin Quinton, Anchorage, to the Board of Fisheries; Mr. Burke Riley, Anchorage, to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission; Mr. John Williams, Juno, to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission; Mr. Marvin Taylor Skagway, to the Board of Marine Pilots. Reports were signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, and signed for confirmation Helford, Eliason, Chatterton, Cotton, Carney, and Osterbach. The House Resources Committee has recommended confirmation of the appointment of Mr. Edwin Van Fleet, Kodiak, to the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board, and Mr. Charles Knapp, Kodiak, to the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board. Reports were signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, and signing for confirmation Helford, Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, and Osterbach. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 687, establishing the Alaska Energy Center, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 687 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, chairman, concurred in by Miles, Fuller, Osterbach, Chatterton, and Cotton, having no recommendation, Helford and Carney. House Bill 687 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 relating to the development of geothermal resources under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurring by Miles, Osterbach, Jara, Fuller, Chatterton, and Cotton. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 949, an act annulling 15 AAC 5, 410, 4, and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Buchholz, Anderson, Malone, and Parr. Signing no recommendation, Phillips and Barnes. Signing do not pass, Martin. House Bill 949 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees. Representative Anderson. House, please stand. The House, please come back to order. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finances had committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 amended, exempting the income of commercial airline flight crews from the Alaska Net Income Tax under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 394 and reports it back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. Malone, Mr. Meekins, Chairman, signing due pass, Meekins, Haugen, Freeman, Montgomery, and Schaefer. Having no recommendation, Duncan, McKinnon, Rogers, and Guy. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 394 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Lloyd Atterburn, Marky Tomlinson, Pam Allen by Representative Miles. Citation in memoriam Louise Stokes DeVoe by Representative Cotton. Citation in memoriam Warren Ace Dodson by Representative Cotton. I have no further citations and no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 1003 by the Rules Committee by request. An act relating to permissible charges in credit transactions.
Judiciary.
House Bill 1004 by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the Real Estate Commission and amending its powers and duties and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Before we have any more further action here, we'll need a quorum call. So would members please show their attendance by voting. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Please, clerk, please take final roll.
31 members present.
There's a quorum present. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may we move to unfinished business at this time?
Under unfinished business, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we have an item of business that we should have taken care of yesterday on, regarding Senate Bill 199 having to do with the Public School Foundation Program. We did amend the Senate bill and adopted on our side House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 199. The Senate has sent us a message that they've failed to concur in House amendments and are asking us to recede. And I'm going to be recommending that we vote no on my motion I'm about to make. I move that the House recede from its amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 199, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 199, and I recommend that the House vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 199, Finance, amended House by the Finance Committee. An act relating to support for schools and amending the Public School Foundation Program and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House. Is the motion to recede from the House amendments to Senate Bill 199? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 31 nays.
The motion to recede from the House amendments has failed. The Free Conference Committee has already been appointed, which is Representative Meekins, Chairman Representative Duncan, and Representative little slip up there. Representative Meekins, Chairman, Representative Schaefer, and Representative Montgomery. Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Chief Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
House Bill 686 by Munson, Buchholz, McKinnon, Miles, and Rogers, an act relating to donors of food to nonprofit organizations. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 686 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 686 and recommends it do pass, attaches a letter of intent and a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Martin, Phillips, Brown, Buchholz, and Parr. O'Connell has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Judiciary Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to donors of food to nonprofit organizations.
Is there a debate? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we get an explanation of the bill?
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill was called the Good Samaritan Bill when it was passed in the state of Washington. The purpose of the bill is to protect the person who in good faith donates food for use by a nonprofit organization. I specifically was asked by the food bank located in Anchorage to have this sort of legislation introduced. The food bank collects food and distributes it to other nonprofit agencies, which provide meals and groceries to the indigent. All it, in essence, that it does is to say to either a grocer or an individual or a farmer that they will not be held liable for contributing, and it. By doing this, it makes the people that more apt to donate food.
Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 686. Representative Metcalf, House, please stand at ease. Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 686. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
30 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 686 has passed the House. Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introductions?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Guy.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have a group of young dancers from Imanga who are going to be performing here in the chambers after the session is over. Following are their names. In behalf of Representative Herbert, but in a way I might add that they are my constituents because I'm an at-large member of the Calista Board, the corporation, the regional corporation. Aggie Oktoryak, would you please stand? Zita Oktoryak, Maggie Kamaroff, Gabina Simon, Josie Waska, Howie Westlock, Ronnie Trader, John Murphy, Merle Red Fox, excuse me, Merlin Red Fox, Marvin Kelly, Duck Horn, Ivan Akachunak, Paul John Kamaroff, the drummers, Ray Waska, Andy Sugar. The sponsors, hold on. Sponsors, Sandy Carlson and Jim Carlson.
I think the dancers are going to give a performance after the session here at the house. I did see them last night. They're very good. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce my intent to reconsider my vote on 686.
Representative Metcalf's notice of reconsideration on House Bill 686 is noted. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 746 by Cotton and Hayes, an act relating to overtime compensation under a flexible work hour plan. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 746 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 746 and recommends it do pass and attaches a chairman's report and a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, and Gardner, signing do pass if no physical note, Martin and Metcalf. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 746 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The State Affairs Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 746 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 746 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 746 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to overtime compensation under a flexible work hour plan.
Question. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, in regard to the fiscal note, there's sort of an interesting history on the fiscal note. The Department of Labor, when first asked for a fiscal note, came back with, I think, $250,000 as their recommendation. The State Affairs Committee felt like perhaps there was a need for some additional expense, and I think they recommended $99,000, and our finance committee recommended a zero fiscal note. So I think that they can get along fine without any money, at least the first year. Originally introduced the bill at the request of some friends of mine who recently changed their work schedule from the normal 5-5-8s to 4-10s, and as it turned out, there was some possibility that was illegal. As it turns out, from the best I can determine, it isn't legal right now to work 4-10s without the employer paying overtime for those 2 hours a day that they work over eight. There are a list of several exemptions from that payment from overtime statute, and that includes some agriculture workers, switchboard operators, outside poultry buyers, and there are several pretty odd exemptions, but I think this is a very, very good one. If the industry or the business has a voluntary flexible work plan, or if it's part of a collective bargaining agreement, it would, under this provisions of this bill, be legal for an arrangement to be made where employees could work 4-10s instead of 5-8s without the overtime requirement.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My primary objection to this bill mostly has to do with the government employees, and I feel that the major problem that we're going to develop is that this kind of a work schedule is for the convenience of staff and not necessarily for giving better service to the public. But then also, I'm most concerned about the private employees, too. We know anyone that has studied this program of 410, and especially for our unions on the East Coast, found out that it has been very detrimental to the people themselves. It sounds good to have a long weekend of 3 days off,
But then we found out because people haven't learned how to use their leisure hours, it became very detrimental. We dream of them having another day off to do voluntary work, another day off to be with the family. But on the other hand, half the family is either in school or mom and dad are working and doesn't have the same schedule. So it became very detrimental to our union groups. Now, on the fiscal note, I agree with the Representative Cotton that I wish it were zero, and just to implement it as far as processing it should be zero. But one thing that has not been addressed is that if a large segment of our government employees, different officers, decided to have the 410, that would leave either Monday off or Friday off for these people. And here again, giving less service to the public. And then we're going to come up with the gimmick saying, well, then we need to hire another one-third staff or another double our staff to take up for that day off. And that should certainly be evaluated. How are we going to work it in various departments if the majority decided for 410? And to mention before, sir, my major concern is service to the public and not necessarily convenience of the staff. They're getting very well paid now. They have a smaller work week than their private sectors. And it seems to me that if there's anything we should be concerned about is changing the hours so that it would be more convenient for the private person to reach government. For instance, try to call some of the officers around here at noontime. See if anyone will answer the phone. And you know, we're always at meetings right up till noon, and then we have meetings between 1 and 1:30. So our best time to get government employees in the call on office is at noon. I don't know how much success you have, but I have very little success. Maybe they know who's on the other end of the line. Then also try to call somebody at 4:30 around here after we get our meetings, usually just about 5 o'clock. You can't get any staff people around. You can't get the offices to get comment. So here again, if we're going to have flex time, let's make it convenient to give better service to the people. And it's for that reason, because I don't think that the concept has been evaluated, that I cannot vote for this bill. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, it was brought up in the State Affairs Committee that the state employees are exempt from the Wage and Hour Act, so this has nothing to do with state employees.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we want to talk to about service to the public, I would challenge the fact that when all of the offices are open only 8 to 5, and many of our people, our working people that work 8 to 5, and the offices are all closed on Saturday and Sunday, the only time that that it's convenient for the people is to take off work. At one point in time in Fairbanks, the social workers decided to go on flex time. They didn't know that they were doing it illegally. Of course, this worked very well for their clients, because there were many people that could not come into the office during 8 to 5 without taking much time off from their jobs. The clients were very pleased, and then Fairbanks' office was sent a memo that said, you can't do this. Even though it's helping the people that you're trying to serve, we can't have this going on. So I would urge that people vote yes.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's important to repeat there is a zero fiscal note on this bill. I support it. It gives more freedom to the private employers to adjust the work schedules. And one other side benefit is that those areas where they have allowed the 410s, it has reduced energy consumption because people just don't have to commute to work as often. And if we're going to have to cut back our gasoline consumption by 17%, this is the kind of legislation that makes it easier for that to happen.
The question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 746. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
29 yeas, 1 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 746 has passed the House. Oh, we'll have to void that roll call. Try it over again. Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 746. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
29 yeas, 1 nay.
House Bill 746 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill 947 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the term of office of Borough Assemblyman and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 947 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 947 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, and Parr. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. CRA Committee substitute for House Bill 947 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, the House Bill 947 will be in gross advance, third reading, placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the term of office of Borough Assemblyman and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? The question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 947. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
30 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 947 has passed the House. There is an effective date. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 947 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there is no objection, the roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 782 by Malone and Rogers, an act relating to local service roads and trails. We are in third reading on reconsideration. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Committee substitute for House Bill 782 is before us in reconsideration, was held over from yesterday's calendar in third reading. Question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 782. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 782 has passed the House on reconsideration. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution number 65 by the Labor and Management Committee, requesting the Governor to endorse the United States Department of Labor's decision to establish a Job Corps Center in the state. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Concurrent Resolution 65 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Rogers, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Rogers, Hayes, Miller, Branson, and Bettisworth. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 65 is before the House in final passage. Members may proceed to vote.
Is it the wrong one?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 65. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, no nays.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 65 is passed. Completes today's calendar. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we bring up Senate Bill 394 as a special order of business at this time.
Is there any objection to the motion to bring up Senate Bill Number 394 as a special order of business on today's calendar? There's no objection. Senate Bill Number 394 is before us. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Can we be brief, please, Mr. Speaker?
House, please, Senate. House, please come back to order. A little bit of confusion there. We're going to have to do this by a different procedure, so we'll avoid that motion and come back to it. It's a little improper under the House rules. There'll be a need to adopt a supplemental calendar rather than a special, bring it up as a special order business. So we will be coming back to that. For a moment, we've completed today's calendar and we're under unfinished business. Are there any items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs will meet at 1:30 today and take up HJR 1, amending the Alaska Constitution for a unicameral legislature.
Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 199 will meet at 11:30 in room 121.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary meet at 3 this afternoon. We have House Bill 389, regulation of fireworks, and House Bill 487, arbitration and teacher negotiations.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, the House has will consider House Bill 838 concerning debt service for school construction, House Bill 615, exemption from municipality property tax, and House Bill 830, combining alcohol and drug abuse advisory boards.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 3 o'clock today, House Resources will meet on House Bill 963, the Oil and Gas Corporate Income Tax Amendment.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Commerce Committee will meet Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'll take up House Bill 334 for closure of encumbrance real property.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 1:30. We'll continue overview of the operating budget and hear testimony on Anchorage wind damage and problem at Auk Bay School.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At 3:30 this afternoon, the Free Conference Committee on Election Code Revision will meet in the State Affairs Room. And at 8:30 Monday morning, CRA will meet for a teleconference on regional housing authorities. I've forgotten the number of the bill. I'll post it.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Commerce Committee on House Bill 60 will meet at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Senate Finance.
There are further announcements. Special orders. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I have the floor to make some remarks on tax reform and the capital improvement projects budget?
That's a couple new ones. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From before the 14th of January, when the session was convened, it's been a priority of both parties in this House, and I believe a majority of the other body, to do something quick, decisive, and effective about the economic climate of Alaska. To date, on this 89th day of session, we've accomplished two things in that direction. We finally passed a revision of the Unemployment Insurance Act, which will affect a relatively small number of people beginning in October of this year. We passed House Concurrent Resolution 33, which over a period of weeks will put several million dollars into the loan market at very attractive rates. And this will affect principally only people who want to build or buy a home, the home building industry, and some who qualify for credit union consumer loans. We've had accessible to us, Mr. Speaker, several other avenues of action, which has been slow, debate's not been helpful, and direction's difficult to identify. The most important of these is the matter of tax reform. The first bill introduced in the House this year dealt with the issue in the simplest, most straightforward way possible, and that bill is still in the Committee of First Reference. Since then, we've had a veritable galaxy of other proposals, ranging from simple ones to very complex ones. We finally fashioned a bill, which I don't think most of us expected to pass the other body, but which nonetheless took us 10 weeks to cobble together and send down the hall. Now here we are, ending the third month of session, and Alaskans are still jobless, falling behind in payments, losing credit purchases, living in substandard conditions on substandard diets, and mad. And we are now entertaining what must be the 40th separate scheme for tax reform. All the while, Mr. Speaker, we've continued to do two things to the detriment of successful enactment of any such bill. We have refused to separate the issue of tax repeal and resource income distribution, despite competent legal advice that we should, and we have refused to address the issue in the specific fashion which at least a strong majority of the largest constituency in the state has clearly said it wants: outright repeal. Just as most other members have, I've received literally hundreds of letters, received wires, phone calls, and personal visits on the subject, and almost unanimously, people want repeal. Another crucially important economic device available to us is the one which you sent to free conference yesterday. We were warned the first day of session that unless the projects in the Capital Improvement Supplemental were accessible by March 1, many of them might fall by the wayside for this construction season. 1 month ago, I brought that fact to the attention of this body, Mr. Speaker, and now we're told two distressing things about the Senate version of the bill, which the free conference will consider. First, that a number of the projects which are considered priorities by members of this body have been excised from the bill. Second, many of the projects which were in the original bill, for the specific reason that they could have been brought to contract this season, have also been removed. The principal original purpose of a large supplemental budget early in the session has at least in part been destroyed. Time required for design, for site and material acquisition, for advertising and contracting, for contractor hiring and mobilization are all critical components in the construction time frame. And here we are at the end of the sixth week after the March 1 deadline with a bill probably satisfactory to no one going into free conference. I would hope today, Mr. Speaker, that you would charge House conferees with several vital responsibilities as members of that conference. They should seek to restore the House priorities, to restore the projects which could be moved to contract quickly yet this spring, and they should work with all prudent speed to bring us back a bill we can approve. I hope all of my colleagues here understand the very great urgency of these charges. It might be myth, Mr. Speaker, that Nero fiddled while Rome burned, but it's no secret that this legislature fiddles while Alaska's economic vitality is dying on the vine.
Special orders. Representative Anderson.
May we have a brief of these, please?
House, please, Anderson. Let's come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we have had placed on our desks a proposed supplemental calendar. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the proposed supplemental calendar be adopted as a special order of business.
There's no objection. The supplemental calendar will be adopted. Will the clerk please read the first item on the supplemental calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394, amended by the Finance Committee. An act exempting the income of commercial airline flight crews from the Alaska net income tax and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, signing DuPass, Meekins, Haugen, Freeman, Montgomery, and Schaefer. Having no recommendation, Duncan, McKinnon, Rogers, and Guy. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Are there amendments on the desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill on third reading?
House committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the Alaska net income tax and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The original bill that we received concerns income of flight crews, and it concerns a recent Department of Revenue ruling which says that non-residents who work on flight crews and fly in and out of Alaska, the Department of Revenue says that they should pay income tax retroactively for 3 years. The bill says no, they don't have to pay it retroactively for 3 years and not in the future if they're non-residents. Residents who work on the flight crews would continue to pay. The sections that were added by the Finance Committee are two bills which were introduced last year by other members of this body, House Bill 436 by Representative Parr and 464 by Representative Anderson and a number of co-sponsors. Representative Parr's bill is in Section 2, and it removes the discrimination against married taxpayers on the state income tax, allowing married taxpayers to file separately and use the separate schedules. The other sections concern indexing of the state income tax, and that would say that the tax brackets would go with inflation, so if you have a higher salary because of inflation, you don't pay an automatic higher tax bracket. Now, of course, these would only take effect, assuming there's a suspension of the income tax, those two sections would only take effect when it comes back into, when the suspension is over, if ever, and then the rest is all the Sections 5, 6, and 7 are the effective dates and when each of the provisions take effect. It's my hope that these might be a signal to our members of the free conference as to other sections that might be important to be considered whenever they pass out the income tax bill.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, just to make sure that everybody's clear on what we're trying to do here, Senate Bill 394, we certainly don't expect the other body to accept our amendments, and therefore the bill would go to free conference committee, and thereby allowing the separation, if you will, of the two issues, the distribution and the income tax issue. And this isn't in direct response to Mr. Hayes's earlier comments, and if it was, we sure moved fast, huh? I think that I had a few responses to the minority leader's speech this morning, but I think I'll let those ride and let our actions speak for what we're going to do.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the Section 2 of the bill, as Mr. Rogers said, was House Bill 436, As you can tell from the number, that was introduced last year before we knew there might be a possibility of suspending or repealing income tax. I'm sure everyone is aware, in fact, you may have seen a TV program just a few nights ago about the attempts in Congress to get Congress to change their system so that married taxpayers don't have to pay more than if they were just living together, and so far those efforts have been unsuccessful. It doesn't appear to me that we should have, as a matter of public policy, encouraging people to get divorced in December and then remarried in January, or else just to live together without getting married, just in order to save taxes. We can't do anything about the federal government's control of that matter on the federal income tax, but there's certainly no reason for the state of Alaska to continue to do that.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just a couple of short comments. One, this is the 80th ninth day, so I don't think anybody can be accused of moving too fast. We used to think we should have the whole session over within 90 days. The other thing is, Mr. Hayes's remarks, he referred to both parties in this body, and I just wanted to correct him.
The question for the House is the final passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 394. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 394 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 394 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call on final passage be the shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the House please stand at ease? The House please come back to order. That completes the supplemental calendar. We're under special orders. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to comment on remarks made by a previous speaker under special orders?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I'd only like to reply to one point that was made by the minority leader, and that was that we should have separated the income tax issue from the distribution of oil revenues to the people. Mr. Speaker, I'd have a great deal of difficulty with that. Presumably, people who have paid income tax in most cases, except for maybe a few who managed to somehow not get caught yet, are those who had more money than those who didn't. And Mr. Speaker, I would have had a great deal of difficulty in ignoring the senior citizens on those low fixed incomes, the long-term unemployed. My district has been going anywhere from, now it's down to 14%, and I say down to 14%, and it's been higher than that for a long time, and people have exhausted their unemployment insurance benefits, homemakers who don't pay income tax, low-income people in many parts of our state. We have people whose incomes are simply so low they don't have to pay them. And to have anybody, and I don't care how many telegrams, wires, messages, and everything else I get, you know, I'm not going to be prepared to give income tax refunds to people who had money enough to pay income tax unless we make sure that those other people in the lower income brackets, the ones I've mentioned, get some kind of money too. Now, I think this body is being responsible by not bowing to that pressure.
Representative Bettisworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to comment on my trip to Fairbanks over the weekend.
Representative Bettisworth.
If this body wonders why people from the interior get awful nervous this time of year and want to go to Fairbanks, can probably give you some insight as to why. I was there for 4 days. I didn't see a cloud all the time I was there. On Easter Sunday, our golf course had 5 holes that were completely thawed out and dry, and Eddie Dean, our Fairbanks pro, had 10 people up there playing golf. But there was only one problem. Their golf balls were looking pretty shabby, and it would sure be nice to have those people to be able to buy some new ones.
Some of us wish we could afford to play golf. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Some of the remarks of Minority Leader caught my attention, too, and I'd like to comment on those, if I may.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's generally recognized by the people in the legislature that right now the level of economic activity in the state isn't as high as people would like to see it. And I think under those conditions that if there is an opportunity through the agency of government to do something about that, that we have that responsibility. I think that it's recognized here. I think in the long run that following that policy is going to be self-defeating. The more that we rely on the agency of government, and particularly the government's funds, to prop up the private economy in the state, the more of a chronic problem we're dealing with and the more difficulty we're going to have in the future. So I think that we have to remember that what we're dealing with here may be a critical situation or a, but it, I think it has to be regarded as temporary. And I think that in the long run that the party that I belong to, and I believe probably the party that Mr. Hayes belongs to, would rather see the emergence of a strong private economy in Alaska. And I think that that has to be kept in mind regardless of whatever the pressing needs are today. If we set a course of action in state policy that precludes that development, then I think that things are going to get worse, not better, in the state of Alaska.
Representative Anderson.
I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. Monday morning.
No objection. The House adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Monday morning.